Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Today's guest is Tanya Pacheco, an experienced accountant and bookkeeper with over a decade of experience in a variety of industries before breaking away from her corporate career and owning TP Bookkeeping. Tanya's greatest satisfaction comes from making informed recommendations that provide her clients with peace of mind that their financials are in good hands. She believes understanding and talking about your money is how you're able to manage your business effectively. Every year, her clients trust her and her colleagues to manage nearly hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. Tanya, I am so excited to have you here today.
Yay, thank you so much for having me. I'm jazzed.
My pleasure. Please share more with our audience about you and what you do.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Tanya. I own and operate TP Bookkeeping. We opened the doors actually in 2018. And we serve service-based businesses throughout the Northeast, specifically restaurants and marketing and creative agencies. So we're a full-service bookkeeping firm, which basically just means we'll do as little or as much as you need. So we work with some amazing clients throughout Greater Boston and, you know, help them get their number straight.
Love it. And you have a really interesting corporate career background that did lead you into starting your own company. So I'd love if you could share with our listeners what that was and then what inspired you to go off and do your own thing with TP Bookkeeping.
Yeah. So I have a colleague who calls me the reluctant entrepreneur, which is so true. I needed more of a push to start my own business. My background is in restaurant accounting. I worked for a pretty well-known restaurateur in the finance and accounting department for about 7 years. Which was fantastic. It was very hands-on. It was a great experience. And then I worked in some tech startups and at a marketing firm. So I was in corporate. I was definitely climbing the corporate ladder. And, you know, I loved that. I was, you know, really happy. I was not really thinking about doing my own thing. But, you know, I started getting approached from some colleagues from when I worked at the restaurant who were opening up their own restaurants, right? And they couldn't afford to have a full blown accounting team on staff, right? In-house, because that's pricey. But they know that they needed somebody in that position to manage the bookkeeping and to kind of like guide them. And they approached me because that's like what I had done, even though, you know, I wasn't really in that world anymore. But, you know, it happened a few times and I was like, you know, maybe this is something I should think about. And it kind of like, you know, it was one client, which they're still with us and they're the best. And then it was another one. And I was like, wow, okay, there's really a need here, right? Like there's so very clearly a pocket of businesses, a small businesses where it's like, they know they need the help, but they're not going to pay, you know, $250,000 a year for an in-house team. So that's kind of how organically, you know, TP Bookkeeping came to be. I didn't like set out to have my own firm, ever. My dad owned his own business growing, you know, when I was growing up. He actually just sold it in 2020. And I saw like what a slog that was. And he worked so hard. And so I kind of always had this perception in my mind, like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. And like, of course. So anyways, that's kind of how TP Bookkeeping came to be. And it's also why, you know, we serve so many folks in the hospitality space even today.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it happened by accident where people just kind of came to you and you're like, I guess we're doing this.
Yeah, almost. I mean, it was, you know, I think, you know, there was a very well-known restaurant group who I'd actually, you know, talked about coming in-house, and I met with them and they were so lovely. But I was like, I don't know if I really want to do that again, right? Like be married to one group. But that conversation made me like, after that conversation made me think like, wow, I could go out and do this on my own, and serve like so many more clients, right? So it was very organic by accident, but also like the seed was planted. Then I thought about it. Like it still took me probably 6 months after that meeting to be like, should I, shouldn't I? Because I was at Easy Cater at the time. Shout out to Easy Cater. I loved that job. The team was fantastic. They were the best. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You know, I wasn't really looking to leave.
Yeah.
So it kind of all just happened when it happened, which is the best way.
Agreed. And with that, were you balancing both your corporate job and building up the business, or was it like a cold quit ultimately to focus on the business?
Yeah, it was a cold quit. So I kind of recognized for me personally, I couldn't do the side hustle. I hate that, but you know what I
Yeah.
mean?
It's
Like
tough.
I had to be either all in on TP or just focus on what was my corporate job at the time. And I know a lot of people do both. I think that was a personal decision. I wanted to really throw everything I could and see, you know, what this could be. And I knew the only way I could do that is to just dive in, which is scary, right? It's a huge risk. You're going from this corporate, you know, you have your paycheck every 2 weeks, you have health insurance, you have bonuses, you have stock options, to being like this free agent.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was scared shitless. I'm obviously now, you know, going on 5 years later, I'm like, wow, I can't believe I drove into Boston every day.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So, yeah.
And so now being just about pretty much 5 years into owning TP Bookkeeping, what's been the, I guess, evolution of the company throughout those past 5 years in terms of how you've been able to grow it, what you've done to grow it, and how things might look differently now than they did back then?
Yeah, we definitely the my biggest investment to date in the company has been hiring the right people. And I think that is where a lot of folks kind of get stuck in this like solopreneur kind of, I call it solopreneur purgatory. So, you know, I wasn't really able to accelerate the growth of the business until I hired a senior bookkeeper and another bookkeeper and an assistant bookkeeper, and just, you know, taking on the capacity and increasing our bandwidth has been my number one investment, my biggest investment in the business, and one that I don't regret ever, ever, because you know, you hire the right people and they are going to just pay you off in spades, right? And
Yeah.
work for you and work with you. And the clients see that too. And I think that's really important. So I would say that, you know, I've always been very strategic in my growth. I've said this to Ashley before. I say no more than I say yes. We only accept certain types of clients. I have a very strict no asshole policy.
Which
And
everyone
so
should
I
have.
and so I just I try to always stay true to that, right? We as bookkeepers, we are like in your business all day, every day. Money is stressful. We want to have good partners and good relationships on the other side. And
Yeah.
so, you know, a lot of people 5 years in would be at different revenues or different goals. But I'm very proud of where we're at because it's been very strategic and very pointed decision making. I always said, like, I want to do this for a long time, not for, you know, a fun time. And I think that, you know, when you think like that, when you treat your business like a business, it's going to pay you like a business, right? It's going to
Absolutely.
come back in spades. So that's just always been my mantra and how I run the business. So it's definitely come a long way. I mean, gosh, year one we were at 8 clients, which was great, and now we're at almost 50 monthly clients. So it's definitely been like very strategic growth. But I'm happy with how it's turned out so far.
Absolutely. And with almost 50 monthly clients that you work with, well, I'm always so curious when I speak to owners and CEOs of like, how do they manage everything? Like, do you personally oversee all 50 clients, or maybe some team members are a little bit more in tune with some clients, if that makes sense?
Yeah, so for our firm, I have my finger on all clients, but we also do different tasks for every client, right? So some clients, we literally just come in at month end, reconcile, here's your P&L, goodbye. Other clients, we're paying their bills, we're sending out client invoices, there's more touch points. There's also sometimes more complexities, right? And so those clients, that's where team TP, it's like varying degrees. So, Jen will do X through Y, I'll do Z, or, it gets kind of carved up in different ways. So that's the way I do it because I think A, it allows me to see what's going on with each client. So if they ask a question, I don't look like an idiot. And B, it also allows for a lot of cross-utilization and cross-training, which I think is really important. When you silo the team, say on client A through D, then they're not going to know what's going on E through F. And what if that team member's out, right? What if something happens? So that personally works for me. I know not every firm does it like that. I think it works well for what we do because we make sure that our clients are all on QuickBooks, right? Like there's a program you kind of have to subscribe to. So it works for us.
And I like that adaptation too. And that's something I do. And I think it works really well because, like you mentioned, if one team member is out, then you loop them into another client project and they spend so much time getting caught up to speed that it's like time just gets wasted. So I love that idea of just integrating everyone with each client and having them know it right from the start.
Right. I think it's huge. I mean, it's worked really well for us, and so I'll continue to keep it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I can say this because Tanya is my bookkeeper and one of the best decisions I've ever made. And so I know why I wanted to hire a bookkeeper and I knew when I was ready. But for companies who are looking to hire a bookkeeper, thinking about it, how will they know it's the right time? Like, is there something that they should look out for or they might start to notice in their business when it comes to the point where they do need to outsource that part?
So I think that, of course, I'm so grateful you reached out, and I'm so like honored that people trust me and trust our team to like take literally like you know this because we've been through it like take over because that's what I did, take over your numbers. And I always struggle with this question because there is not this like magic specific finite answer, right? I think, and you can speak to this, Ashley, like when you know, like you just get to that point, whether it's time, energy, your stuff's getting complex, right? Like some people, yeah, they do it themselves for a couple of years and then they grow. They have, whatever it is, you name it, right? You need more time to work in your business. You don't want to be shuffling around with client invoices, right? So there isn't this like, when you hit X amount in revenue, like that doesn't exist to me. I know that some other bookkeepers have feelings about that. I don't. I think that the best time for you to get a bookkeeper or to bring on and outsource your bookkeeping is when you know you're ready. Because there will be a moment, I promise you, when you're like, what the hell am I doing? And I think that's when you need to like listen to that feeling and find somebody that's a good fit for you.
Yeah, and I can speak to my personal experience where I knew I was ready to hire Tanya because I said that there was actually two things. One being that my accountant was like, next year we should really have like a balance sheet or balance statement, whatever it is for you. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. And so I'm like, I need to hire someone who can put that together for me. And two, I realized that at the point that I was in, I was onboarding handfuls of new clients each month, and I was spending so much time actually getting them set up on their accounts that it was taking away from the actual onboarding with like sending invoices and getting them set up with the bookkeeping stuff. And so I just needed to take that off my plate. And I think that knowing that you work with many marketing agencies, just from my experience as a marketer, like that's just been really great and really helpful.
Yeah, I think yeah, it's like when you know, right? It's kind of like when you go on a date right? And you kind of can see where it's going, right? You're on the second date, the third date, that's like your bookkeeping journey. And then it gets to the fourth date and you're like, do I want to go on another date? Like, what do I do? Like, if your answer is yes, but I know that I need more from this person, that's like when you need a bookkeeper. You just kind of know. And I have to say, a lot of our clients do show up at that pivotal moment when their CPA says, what just happened to you, right? It's like you're doing great, but like, oh, it might be time to invest. And so we do work with some fabulous CPAs who refer to us, which is great. Because then, the CPA is not going to tell you to do something that you don't really need. A good moment. So that is a lot of times how people end up in our sphere. So yeah, I think when you know, and that's the best time.
Absolutely. And a bookkeeper helps you to make more money and bring more money back into your business with perhaps looking for ways you can cut expenses or increase your prices and things like that. And I know for me personally, it makes me horrified to think about this, but I know that there have been times in the past 7 years of owning Dash of Social that I've just simply forgot to send an invoice. And so I think it's happened to everyone where they just forget. And so having someone like yourself who can just really take off the mental load, which is really what I felt like it was for me, was just a big mental load, take that off your plate and ensure that things like that don't slip through the cracks and that you are making sure that you're getting paid as you should, I think is huge.
Yeah, I think anytime you outsource or bring an expert in whatever, right? This isn't just bookkeeping. I'm talking about any service provider. That just adds value to your business, right? And so I think that's huge. And so you just need to, again, be very strategic about what that looks like, making sure it's right for you. You know, the goal is always a value add, right? Like my goal is always to go into another organization and add value, in some way, right? Whatever that way is.
Absolutely. And so during this time, it's been probably like the past year where people have talked about how we're in a quote unquote recession. So it felt like we were going into one. And then I personally felt like a few months ago, I'm like, are we actually in one? Because I feel like things like aren't really happening, knock on wood, but people kind of tend to get all nervous and worried and all worked up about hearing that word and what it might mean for their business and their finances. And so, for people who might be worried about a recession or even things just slowing down, like right now it's August, things get slow for a lot of businesses in the summer. What do you recommend for them from a financial standpoint in terms of keeping their cash flow healthy and making sure that they feel really confident about their finances moving forward?
So I think the biggest thing is you need to know what your finances are before you can panic or react or whatever, right? So if you have no idea what's going on, then you need to have an idea, right? The only way you can make a decision about what to do is to know what's happening today. I think a lot of people tend to hear recession or whatever, and then they like panic. They like start saving and cutting, and that's okay. But first you need to see where you're at. That's like the first thing. The second thing is, of course, I think it is a good idea to save, about 6 months of expenses. What does that mean? Everything it takes to run your business, paying yourself, all those subscriptions you have, right? You need to save, your contractors, your payroll, all that. Save about 6 months. That's generally more than enough, to weather the storm. And then, of course, is there anything you can cut back on? With an asterisk, reasonably, that's not going to affect the quality of your services, right? Don't go slashing things that you actually need. Really taking a look at what's going on and making, again, strategic moves. I think that's my three biggest things when it comes to your finances. And then fourth, and we've talked about this, is, ramp up your networking, ramp up your PR, your podcasting, your marketing, and really get out there. Because if things are a little quieter, you might have time to be doing things like that. And it's a great time to do it because you're getting in front of more people, you're networking with like-minded business owners. And I think that isn't necessarily financial, but I do think it will pay off in the long term, just being top of mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with focusing on things like you mentioned, like just visibility and overall marketing and sales are things that you might be pushing off to the side when you're really, really busy. Now is that great time to focus on it and help to get seen in front of your ideal clients and customers.
Totally, or in front of their friends who are going to recommend you, right? But,
Yes.
so I think it all kind of intermingles with each other.
Absolutely. This episode of Right Here in Mass is brought to you by Melissa J. Pond, LLC. Is your mission-driven organization struggling to secure funding or communicate your strategy effectively? Meet Melissa J. Pond, LLC, an expert in grant writing, strategic planning, and visual storytelling with over 15 years of experience in the nonprofit and government sectors. Recognized with multiple professional awards, Melissa can help create lasting change and improve the lives of those you serve. Connect with her today at melissajpond.com to see how she can add value to your organization. That's melissajpond.com. And on the topic of making strategic moves, one thing that I always think about, and I think a lot of business owners think about as well, is when to start adding on new services. I think it can be very enticing to think about all of these new things you can add and potentially all the money that it can make, but not necessarily every service that you offer is going to be a good one or even relevant for you. And so, do you have any recommendations for creative agencies specifically, since you specialize in that, but creative agencies specifically when they are kind of looking to increase their revenue streams and diversify things a bit?
So I think the biggest thing, if you're looking to diversify or and or add whatever, you name it, you're going to want to A, make sure that the market is asking for it, because what's the point of putting out a digital product if nobody gives a shit? Sorry. And also two, it's really, I think, smart and again strategic to think about complementary services. So I'll just use an example, right? I work with lots of marketing agencies. And so they have added on things like photography, right? So your content creation that you need for your social media, you need for your visibility plan, you need for your PR, but you need really good vi brand visuals and visual assets, right? And so they've either A, brought on a photographer on staff, or B, what a lot of folks have done is kind of outsource, bring on a contractor to do photo, video, et cetera. So if you're going to be thinking about diversifying to to make more revenue or to bring in new clients, make sure it's kind of in the same lane. Like as a bookkeeper, I'm not all of a sudden going to start offering social media marketing because it would suck. Right? Like try and stay in your zone of genius and think like what could be a good value add here.
Yes, because I think it kind of you get to this like almost confliction where you're like, should I just keep doing what I'm doing because I know it's working? And like, why reinvent the wheel if I know that this is what people are looking for? But also the other end, people who need to innovate and thinking about how other companies who might be competitors are adding on new things and kind of doing things that are new and exciting that might catch that interest. So I feel like it can kind of be hard to know between the two which one's the right way to go.
Right. And maybe there is no like specific right answer. It just depends on where you are in kind of like your, entrepreneurial journey. I think along with adding complementary services, it's always good to have like I always call it like a menu of services. Like, right, this is our bread and butter, but you can downsell for, X service. So like for example, if you're a web designer, right? You're a web designer. You build websites. And that's a very expensive and arduous investment, right? Well, what about a website in a day? And you're just doing 2 to 3 pages. That's an easy downsell. It gets people in, and it's going to, if it's priced appropriately, it's going to give you a boost in revenue. So I did that in my business, in 2023. I started offering strategy sessions, right? So it's not monthly, it's like a quick pick my brain kind of thing that a lot of people have really enjoyed because you're not paying for a CFO to be on your bookkeeping roster, but you get your questions answered. So I think that's another thing people can do. Again, making sure that it's complementary to your existing service suite and it's something that people are going to want.
Yeah, absolutely. And the keyword is complementary. Thinking about what you're already doing that is going to provide more value and benefits to your clients and hopefully getting them to increase the amount of money they're paying you each month.
Exactly. That is so key. And remember, if somebody's already working with you and they're kind of like drinking your Kool-Aid, it's much easier to upsell or complimentary service to them, right? They're already
Yeah.
in the club. It's much easier to, sell to that group of people than to acquire a new client or a new customer. So, I think that's huge. And some people sometimes forget that, right? Like,
Yes.
just dip into your current, like I said, they're already drinking the Kool-Aid. So kind of see what, and it's also sometimes, and we do this, it's like, what would you like to see? Like, is there anything we can offer you that we're not? And you'd be
Yeah.
surprised. So it's just about having those conversations and seeing what the market and what your clients want and need.
I love that. And speaking of client retention, I feel like that's a really key role in bookkeeping as well in your overall finances. So I think that there's kind of two legs to this. So with a business model, you might have retaining clients like marketing agencies who just work with the same people month after month. But then there's also businesses who are constantly turning over clients because it's maybe like a one-off project. And so with that, I can imagine that finances might be a little bit different in terms of people who have that continuous revenue coming in and people who kind of have to constantly seek new revenue. And so, do you have any recommendations for people who are on that aspect who might have a higher turnover of clients just because of the work that they do and what they can plan for financially in terms of that?
So I think anytime you're more project-based, which is what I think you're describing, it
Mm-hmm.
does become difficult to like plan out your revenue. Try and think about having some monthly recurring revenue aspect, or make sure you're booked out for your projects like in advance, right? So what I
Yeah.
mean by that is I'm a web designer. And I know that somebody's going to build their site. They're going to start that project in October. Well, take 25% now, right? And kind of look at your payment terms and see how you can smooth out those numbers because it just inherently can be difficult to manage. So I think it's like a two-prong approach. Make sure you're booked out. Make sure you have kind of your payment plans locked in, whether that's like 25, 25, 25, or 50, 50. It depends on who you are. And if there is some option to capture monthly recurring revenue, if that's like, we'll maintain your website for, whatever. I'm not even going to put a price on it because I don't know anything about that. But right, that's like, again, it's every month. It's kind of a subscription, if you will, and it just kind of keeps the wheels greased. So
Yes.
that's the other thing I've seen work really well. And you kind of have to plan ahead when your business is like that. It just makes it a little bit more difficult from a money management perspective, but it's 100% feasible, right? You just have to know what's coming.
I think that's a super smart approach because I feel fortunate in the sense that like as long as I provide great customer service, my clients will stay with me and I don't, of course I want to sell, but it's not so much of a stressor on me because I don't need to constantly be seeking new clients. And so I love that idea of one, requiring a deposit slash retainer up front, but two, also booking out projects in advance. So you know you have work coming and it's not something where each month rolls around, it's the first of the month and you're like, oh shoot, gotta try to find a new client right now.
Right. Yeah. It's really like this two-prong kind of, approach, which I think works really well, but it's not easy. And even as monthly recurring revenue, which we are, our businesses are, things change. And so with any business, you have to be able to pivot and, anticipate.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you also specialize in is those business advisory services, because what it comes down to is that with your money and your business strategy, they're very closely tied. So it's almost like sometimes looking at just the finances could be just a silo, but really you kind of need to look at the bigger plan, picture, and strategy with that. And so could you talk about how those two pieces, the strategy and the finances, are intertwined and how they impact one another?
Yeah, absolutely. So I always say this, like bookkeeping is like your foundation, right? Making sure we're like, I always say this, we're like master puzzle solvers, right? We're making sure all the little pieces are in the right places, they're all clicking together, they're in the right buckets. Like that's bookkeeping, right? That's like your basic foundation. That's the numbers, that's the data. But most business owners, or a lot of business owners, you just show them their income statement and they're like, great, what does this mean? Right? Like, what does this actually mean? And so when you're asking those questions, like, what are the numbers saying? That's strategy. That's CFO work. So there's kind of these two, like different identities. There's the bookkeeping, which you can't have strategy and you can't have advisory if your books aren't in order, right? Because it's like garbage in, garbage out. Like, if I'm not knowing what I'm looking at, or if I can't trust that the integrity of the numbers are there and accurate, then I might be talking out of the side of my butt about, the what I see. So I think before you even think about strategy, before you even think about advisory, business advisory, your books have to be in tip-top shape. So that's like step one, right? So once we kind of feel that everything's in good order and accurate, then we can start talking about strategy. And I think, it's important to mention that not every bookkeeper does advise or does have CFO services. You really, as the consumer, need to ask the right questions if that's what you're looking for, right? Most bookkeepers are just transactional, organization, reconciliation, right? But if you're looking for feedback on your pricing, on your payroll costs, that's CFO and advisory. So we do both, as Ashley knows, but not every bookkeeper does. And now I think that, advisory is different for everybody. You definitely want to make sure you have a CFO or a business advisor that is familiar with your business type. Because the kind of metrics and benchmarks that we look at, for example, for marketing agencies are not the same for restaurants, are not the same for retail, right? So really knowing that the person has experience in your field, in the financial side of it, is huge. So I think that's really important. And, just thinking about what their experience is and how that can help you. So, and I think obviously what's most important is that you're ready to receive the feedback.
Yes.
So, right? I think that's
Can't
the
be set
biggest
in your own
piece.
ways.
Yeah. So I think, some people think they want the advice and think they want the strategy. And then once we get in there and once we really clean up and see what the books are doing and what the numbers are saying, if you're not going to be receptive to that feedback and to that analysis, then you need to think about that, right? That's the number one thing. Obviously, most of our clients, like Ashley, they want to know what's going on. They want to make informed decisions. They want to know where can they improve, what they're doing really great. And so those are our types of peeps. And so I think that that's really important as your business continues to grow.
Yes, absolutely. Especially because it's like scenario planning. So you're like, if I were to do X, outcome would be Y. And so being able to kind of have someone who's not just kind of like you mentioned, doing the transactional piece of here's your numbers, goodbye, that's it. Like having someone who can help you interpret them, because I think that is huge. And people look at a report and they're like, what does this even mean? I think having someone who can really interpret that and then say, based on what we're seeing, we recommend A, B, and C. I personally think that's really valuable. And having that strategic partner in your business who's therefore guiding you on things you might not know about or might not even think about can help you do so much more.
Right. Absolutely. I think, again, it's all about being an informed consumer and understanding the difference between bookkeeping, which is very important because we can't do anything if we don't have that, right? And
Yes.
kind of CFO advisory strategic partner. They are two separate skills, they are two separate identities, and just understanding the difference and also the importance of both.
Right, absolutely. One of the things that we talk about often, and I know that every service provider always thinks about, is pricing strategy, whether it's A, setting a price as it is right from the beginning, if you're starting a new service, knowing what to set that as, and then B, when it comes time to raise them and how you know when it's time to raise them. So could you talk about those two approaches when A, it comes to just setting a price for something right off the get-go, and then B, getting to the point where you're like, okay, I need to raise prices. How do you know when it's time? And then how do you figure what you should raise it to?
Yeah, great. Like, such a great question. And I feel like I have this conversation at least once a day. Because obviously, you know, pricing is how we make money, right? As business owners. So it's so important to understand how that works, right? And I think that we need to acknowledge that pricing is like a little bit of an art and a little bit of a science, right? Yeah. I think there, you know, everybody's prices are different. And why is that, right? Why are, you know, my bookkeeping prices are so many, there's 100,000 bookkeepers, but I'm not priced just like everybody else. And there's more expensive, less expensive, right? So there's this wide variety. I think the most important thing to keep in mind when you're thinking about calculating your pricing strategy for your business is, how much do you, the business owner, need to live? What do I mean by that, right? Like, what are your personal goals? What do you have as a mortgage, as rent, as a car payment? Like, really look at those fixed costs and goals that you have, whether it be retirement goals, investment goals, and start with that number, right? Break that down to a monthly number, for example, and really start there and work backwards, like reverse engineer the calculation, right? Because listen, I'm just being honest, why are you going to work for yourself to make no money, right? You need to take care of number one, and you're number one, okay? And so really, start there. Say, I need to pay my wife, I need $5,000 a month, minimum. Now that's minimum. Obviously we want to make more than that. You don't want to just make the minimum, right? And so now you know, okay, to even just get out there, I need to make sure to cover my costs, I need $5,000. And I'm obviously making numbers up, but it's expensive to live in Boston, so let's just go with it. You know, so work, start there. So it's like, okay, that's what I need to live. So, you know, ideally I would like to make $8,000 to $10,000 a month because I have that buffer, because I'm going to have other expenses, right? So again, reverse engineer that, because you need to take care of yourself first and to take care of whatever your lifestyle means to you. So that's always my baseline when I talk to business owners. And the second thing, when you're thinking about pricing and how you price your services and how you, you know, get out there, is, you know, consider your skills and expertise, right? People are going to pay for the value you bring as a service provider, what you're bringing to the table, what your competitive advantages are. Like, there is a monetary value to that, right? Mm. And so you need to consider that, which is to say, maybe when you're starting out, your prices are a little lower, right? Because you're building up that portfolio. Or if you're like me, I'd already been in corporate for, you know, 10 years. So I was like, I'm trained up and ready to go, you know? So again, keeping that in mind when you price your services is huge. So I think then you asked this, Ashley, like, when do you know when it's time to raise your prices? When you have a capacity issue. So you're booked out, and you're like, oh my God, right? Time to raise your price, right? Yeah. That's right there. And B, if you haven't raised your prices in a while, it's a good thing to take a look at. Also on the flip side, if you're discounting your services a lot, it's time to take a look at your pricing. So the market's kind of going to determine a little bit of what your pricing strategy is, which is to say, don't just wing it and price yourself at what your competitors are doing, because that's really dangerous. You don't know what their, you know, their baseline is. And you don't know what their skill set is, right? They could have been the graphic designer for Louis Vuitton for 20 years. Like, you don't know, right? So don't just start copying your competitors' pricing. So dangerous. I see that happen all the time. And I'm like, oh, but you need to understand what the demand in the market is and research what other people are kind of doing, offering, how they're pricing. You know, don't try to be like the lowest ticket service, because, you know, you need to know your worth. And I think that's really important. And there is not like a dollar figure that I could give for that. Like, you know, right? Like you.
Yes. And I love that you say that. And I love that you mentioned at the beginning of your response is that it's really an art and science, because I think it does come down to, like, scientifically, what you physically need to make based on living and also your experience. But also sometimes too, when I price things, I'm like, this number feels good. Like, I can't really explain why, but I'm like, I just feel like this number is a good number to set
Right, it's an art.
it as.
Like there is the science behind it, where you have to pay your bills, and that's so important. But then, there's everything else you bring to the table. So you really need to like gut check with yourself when you're thinking about your pricing.
Absolutely. And you also mentioned a really great point too about if you're booked out, like if people are saying yes super easily to your services and signing on with you right away, then you know that your services are in demand and supply and demand. You could perhaps raise the prices of that from there if you know people are kind of biting instantly on it.
Right, 100%, 100, and I think that goes for, again, any service or even any good, right? Like anything. If there's a constant demand, then you need to intrinsically be like, okay, like how can we capitalize on that?
Absolutely. And on the talk of pricing strategy, there's kind of two ways I feel like people can go about it, where maybe they have set packages and set pricing for their specific services, and that's it. Or people have custom pricing and custom proposals for every single thing they offer. Is there any recommendation you have on when people should do one or the other within their business?
So I think it is 100% a case-by-case scenario,
Mm.
because it just depends what your services are, right? Some things are a little bit more cut and dry to kind of price out, where you can be like, package A is this, package B is that. Or like me, all of our packages are custom. So it 100% depends on what the client needs from us. So I think it just depends on your business type, what services you're providing. Obviously, if you can kind of fit them into like pretty little packages, it does make it easier for you, right, as the business owner. Whereas like customizing every client can be a little bit, more hands-on. But I think it helps for us. It helps me provide a better service because I'm giving the client exactly what they need, right?
Yeah.
So I think it just depends on what you're doing for a service. I think even my marketing clients, everybody's kind of like, it's different, right? Some people have their package A, B, and C. Some people are 100% customized. So it really depends on the types of services you're providing, the deliverables you're providing, how many touch points you have with the clients. Like there's so much that goes into it. So I don't think there's like a specific answer I could give for that. I think
Which makes complete sense.
it really just depends, right?
Yeah, definitely. And with that, when it does come time to raise prices, I think myself included, for sure, many business owners kind of struggle with communicating that to clients. I think it's easy to, when you get a new lead right off the bat, just tell them your new pricing because they don't have that pricing history and they don't know otherwise. But when it comes time to raise prices for the clients that you've been working with, do you have any suggestions on how to do that in the right way without A, worrying about losing the client because of the price, or B, perhaps upsetting them a bit over the fact that you will be charging them more?
Yeah, I think you have to like let go of those limiting beliefs when you're ready to have that conversation. Just remember, if they're a good client, an ideal client, a happy client, if you raise your prices 5 to 10% or whatever, they're gonna stay with you. They're gonna see your value. They're gonna know your value, right? I think obviously when it comes to pricing, people can be sensitive. And so you definitely want to be thoughtful about that, right? I always, when we raise our prices, I always like to give at least, 60 days notice, let them know why I'm raising it. Is it just inflation and it's time to do it? Have we raised our prices for everybody else and it's time to do it? Is there a scope creep, right? So that's like an easy conversation to have. You signed on for package A. Well, now you're in package B. So it's not right. So it just being really thoughtful and communicative about why, when, and communicating how much you value them as a client and how much you hope they stay on and see the value you provide. So I think it's scary to have those conversations, but it's so necessary too. And just remembering that they could come back and say, hey, love working with you, but this isn't in my budget or XYZ. Just it's business. Try not to take it
Yeah.
personally.
Love that. And another thing too that comes with business is also the idea of having contractors, having employees, maybe even a mix of both. And so I know that this is likely going to be another thing that's a case by case basis, but do you have a process or kind of like system that you recommend people follow when determining which option is right for them in their business model?
Yeah, so I think you have to, anytime you're adding to your team, whether it's employee or contractor, you need to reasonably understand what you can afford, right? Employees are generally more expensive. Why do I say that? Because an employee is an hourly or salary wage. There's payroll taxes, there's benefits, there's payroll processing, there's onboarding. There's like all these kind of, I call them like hidden costs of having an employee, right? So you need to make sure that that's something you can reasonably afford before you even think about bringing anybody on to help. So, contractors generally don't have those extra hidden costs. Like you pay them $30 an hour and that's it. However, the IRS has like very, very, very strict rules around contractors versus employees. So you can't hire a contractor and treat them like an employee. And what I mean by that is, contractors kind of get to work on their own timeline. They provide their own laptop. They provide, like, they're not adhering to some like guideline you have or deadline you have. So they really are independent contractors, right? Generally speaking, contractors also have a specialized skill set. So I'll just use this as an example. Like you run a social media marketing firm and you need somebody just to design graphics, right? They're not going to be writing the captions. They're not going to be scheduling. They're not going to be interacting with the clients, just graphic design, right? That is, could be a contractor because it's very specific. So I think when you have kind of more specialized, siloed kind of needs, it's great to bring in a contractor. I think if you're looking somebody like me, like our bookkeepers are employees because I'm the one telling them we have to do this, we have to do that, right? And so that's an employee. That's a true employee. So I think you have to look at your needs, you have to look at what you can afford, and then make some decisions from there. And then, that's really what I have to say about
Great advice.
that.
And I think it helps differentiate the two as well because some people might not know like the use cases of which one is better than the other. And so I think it's helpful just to have that umbrella viewpoint really of when is best to go with which option.
Right. And there is like no right or wrong answer, right? Like it's okay. I mean, we have both on our team. Like you can have both. It's not an all or nothing situation. I think you just have to really look at, what the tasks this person is doing is, what, you're requiring of them, and go from there.
Love it. And what would you say for all business owners listening here is the number one piece of advice that they should listen to and follow when it comes to bookkeeping or their money?
I have two pieces of advice. I'm just gonna give
Go
you, I'm
for
gonna give you a freebie.
it. TP two cents is what
A
she calls
TP
them.
two cents. Ashley knows this very well. I always give things in twos and I always give my two cents. One, when it comes to your money, don't just look at your bank account and think that's all you have and that's you're all good. I.e., like just going by what's in your bank account is very dangerous, right? Like it could be more, it could be less. Like you need to understand the ins and the outs of your money movement. And B, don't mix your personal and business because, again, it makes it really hard for us to see how the business is performing, right? Everything is about clarity, strategic organization. If you're going to Starbucks on the business dime every month, then I'm not gonna know if that's the problem or if the contractors are the problem or if you're, spending too much on subscriptions and software. So like really keeping those separate, I think is the number one mistake I see by far. So I think, we call it the bookkeeping golden rule for a reason. It's because it really does make a difference. But also don't just go by what's in your bank account and be like, oh, there's so much money in there. You got to know what's coming in and coming out. It's not just looking at one number and thinking, I'm good. That's so dangerous. That's so dangerous.
Love that. And something I didn't even think about. So I appreciate that advice. And then also too, speaking of like the personal aspects, let's talk about owner's draws. So talk about the importance of taking an owner's draw and when businesses should take it or when they know when to take it.
So I think once you have, first of all, it depends on your business structure, right? So if you're an S corp, you're also going to be drawing a reasonable salary. So you should be getting, that's not a draw, that's just straight salary. So you should be already hooked into that. So keep that in mind. When it comes to draws, when do you know? Well, look at your profit. Are you profitable, right? Or have you been profitable? Like sometimes I'll look at 3 months of profit and be like, it's time to make a draw. So that, and always like ask your CPA, ask your accountant, can I, what are the implications on my personal tax situation? What you don't want to do is, and a lot of people do, is overdraw. Obviously it puts a pinch on your business cash flow, but there are, ripple effects and ramifications to your personal tax return. So again, having a professional on your team that will advise you what you can do, what you can't do, but it all starts with having your books in order, right? Knowing what your profit is, knowing what your expenses are, knowing what your revenue is. Like you really can't make any decisions until you have that.
Fabulous advice. And shifting gears a little bit, what would you say your favorite local businesses to support?
I have so many. Maze in Marshfield has the best sandwiches. They are a TPP client, but I was frequenting there way before they were. I also love Linwood Cafe for bar pie, Donut King for donuts, and Green Harbor Lobster Pound, which is down in Marshfield. They have the best lobster rolls, best seafood. Go check them out because they are seasonal. I think non-food related, well, kind of food related, Board 143 in Scituate is great. Great little shop. They have wine. They have all the things. I love the Collective Co. Also in Scituate for co-working. Rachel and her team are great. I love Eden Salon in Pembroke. They take care of my TP locks. and they're just lovely, lovely salon. The girls are great there. And I also love Strand the Boutique, which is in Duxbury. Such a cool shop. So many cool things in there. Clothing, all the things. Then they're right down in Duxbury.
You shared so many. I love that. You had to make sure you hit all the bases.
Yeah, I was like, I could just sit here and talk about all the places I go to eat, which is plentiful, but it's obviously more than just that. We have a lot of really cool shops down on the South Shore, so yes. And cool places. So I wanted to make sure to, you know, share the love.
Show some love. Yeah. Love it. Tanya, this has been a fabulous episode, and I've really enjoyed having the opportunity to have you highlight your expertise and talk about all things money. And I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Yeah. So find me on Instagram. TP Bookkeeping is my name there. I am on LinkedIn, Tanya Pacheco, also TP Bookkeeping. Visit our website, www.tpbookkeeping.com.
Perfect. And I will link to those in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through from there. But thank you so much again for coming on today.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.